What do you want God to do for you? Why are you on the boat, and the next minute you jump off the boat, and you have my cell phone, my shoe phone, my bat phone, and the reason why you're off the boat is you made a decision to jump off the boat. And then you want me to drop everything when I'm in the midst of saving somebody that's actually coming to see Christ for the first time. And you say, come help me. But you already have the tools. You already have the tools to know how to swim back to the boat. Pray through it. Stop dialoguing with doubt. Put on your big girl shorts and fight through it. I don't mean that harshly. But I want you to have a real sincere understanding that if you don't make that decision to go that extra mile, then there's nothing we can do. No priest that I know that can say, okay, let me just emotionally help you get back in the boat. Why do I say it so charitably? Because ultimately what needs to happen is I need to remember not emotionally how I feel God is at this time, because that's wrong. Don't project emotions on God. How has God been throughout salvation history? Every time humanity turned its back on God, God had pity on them. God has pity on my nothingness. That is mercy. The prodigal son comes back and is embraced not because only he's a son, but because of the father's mercy, the father's pity on the boy. And we see how the father subjects himself to this absolute rejection by the son, and then surrenders himself to receiving back the boy who rejected him. Notice that. He surrenders himself to this boy. And even when the boy comes back, he has all these projections on his father. Oh, he's going to slap me. He's going to do this. Let me get this great speech. All these projections. An interesting conversation with the guy who just got home from a trip in Haiti. He was holding this little boy that was near death, and so the sister said, here, I want you to hold this baby. And for 4 or 5 days, he just sort of held the baby. The boy was literally at the point of death, an infant. And he told me this story about how the child began to no longer need oxygen and to breathe. And he just said, Father, I've never seen a miracle in my own life. And all this guy did was he just loved this baby. That's it. The baby was at the point of death, and yet this guy just loved the baby, and the baby began to breathe. How is it possible that God uses something that fragile to help this man have an incredible encounter of faith? How is that possible? How can God use the suffering of this baby to lure back this man into a deeper faith encounter? What kind of father does that? Like, really think about it. What kind of father would use this innocent lamb to bring back this man? Either it's a mean heavenly father that would let this boy be so sick and then say, fly down from the first world and love this boy. And what's it about? It's really about that man's conversion. Think about it. He didn't bring that baby home and say, okay, you're back to normal. You're off to a good school. That boy is still in serious health. But do you see the way that God would go so low, using brokenness, sinfulness, sickness to lure us back? Once again, God kept a promise to that man. I will do anything to bring you back. to relationship with me? What has God done for you like that? What are those aha moments in your life and you say, wow, I never looked at it that way. I never encountered it that way. Once you begin to see those moments as, wow, God used a suffering servant in my very presence for one purpose, to win my heart back. It's the listening heart that can see those encounters. And the paradox of all this stuff that God does for us is not so that that boy can live, it's so that God can win our hearts back. If God wanted to, when he sent his son to have had the bigger impact, he would have had more than 12 disciples, one of which was a betrayer. Our faith is not just a system of faith beliefs, it's the encounter. And so many folks, they have these encounters, but they don't keep them in their heart. They don't process them. They don't live them. Who cares whether it's a miracle? What matters is there's a moment of encounter. And the only way this was possible is if Christ becomes flesh, the only way, so that we don't get this sense of God far away, this sense of unapproachability. I was reading this chapter in this book, and it talks about Pope Francis's favorite chapter in Scripture, Joel 16. I was reading a book about him. And it's all in the context of Ezekiel the prophet sort of reminding the people of Israel ready of their infidelities. I want to read it to you, and then I want you to hear what God's solution is. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations. Remember, God was faithful, right? He was absolutely faithful. I will be your God, you be my people. There's a presence there. Keep my commandments. Don't melt down your teeth and your bracelets and make molten calves. As a matter of fact, in the book of Exodus, it says, they make false gods and empty themselves. It's a very beautiful indictment of our culture. We're making false gods and emptying ourselves. What do we have? Nothing. Nothing. Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are of the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. On the day you were born, your navel string was not cut, meaning not you were not abandoned. Nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor swathed with bands. No eye pitied you to do any of these things to you out of compassion for you. But you were cast out on the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you weltering in your blood, I said to you in your blood, live and grow up like a plant in the field. And you grew up and became tall and arrived at full maidenhood. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, behold, you were at the age for love. And I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Yea, I plighted my troth to you and entered into a covenant with you, says the Lord God, and you became mine. Then I bathed you with water and washed off your blood from you, and anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with an embroidered cloth, and covered you with leather. I swathed you in fine linen, and covered you with silk. And I decked you with ornaments, and put bracelets on your arms, and a chain on your neck. And I put a ring on your nose, and earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown upon your head. Thus you were decked with gold and silver, and your raiment was of fine linen and silk and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. You grew exceedingly beautiful and came to regal estate. And your renown went forth from among the nations because of your beauty. For it is perfect through the splendor which I had bestowed upon you, says the Lord. But you trusted in your beauty. You played the harlot because of your renown and lavished your harlotries on any passerby. You took some of your garments and made for yourselves gaily decked shrines, and on them played the harlot. The like has never been nor ever shall be. You also took your fine jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself images of men, and with them played the harlot. And you took your embroidered garments to cover them and set my oil and incense before them. And my bread, which I gave you, I fed you with fine flour and oil and honey. You set before them as a pleasing odor, says the Lord God. And you took your sons and daughters whom you had born to me, and you sacrificed to them to be devoured. So the Lord God goes on, and he just makes this complete promise. And he reminds them, he says, and I will give you over to you, heart, to your lovers. They shall throw down your vaulted chamber and break you, etc. But then God keeps coming back. He says, but in all of that, I'm to you. In all of that pain, in all of that suffering, God makes a promise, and I have not abandoned you. I think the question that so many folks ask when they're struggling in their trials and their struggles is, where is God? But the real question is, where am I? God is not moved. It's an important question that I think many of us have to go back to ask ourselves, where do I go? Where am I? Where is my heart? Pope Benedict said, God never fails. He lets human freedom exist, and this freedom constantly says no. But God's creative love is always seeking to make the human heart say yes. What draws God's charity out to us, what moves God, what keeps God faithful, is our nothingness, is our brokenness. That place of brokenness could be a place where there could be great grace for you. Remember, you are in God's image and likeness. He will not throw that out. And though even though it may be broken and shattered in many ways, God will not throw that out. It is his image. It's his image more than anything else that he's created. Remember, God makes the promise, right? You will be my special possession. I think it's hard to listen to what God would imagine or what God says to us because we hear so many false voices and we have so many false beliefs. We become, as they told Moses, don't become stiff-necked. And even in Genesis or Exodus, God says, why did your fathers reject me? Look at how faithful I've been. I was looking through all of those moments where God was sort of cast aside or people of Israel turned their back over, and it just keeps repeating itself in the culture. Why? And at the same time, that commitment to having the relationship with this God is such that sometimes I see these powerful moments in people's lives, but it's sort of like they consume it, but they don't keep it. It's like, oh, that was a great Ferris wheel. What's the next ride? And yet God did something so beautiful. It's like, what's the next experience? Look, you have to be one who waits on God. You have to be one who is listening. Otherwise, it won't penetrate deeply what God is really teaching you in those moments. The ability to listen to God and to just wait is a place of great humility. God has not forgotten. Even in your darkest moment, He is not forgotten. Because in your darkest moment, that's what draws God with that everlasting love to your nothingness. You are naked. You are abandoned. You are vulnerable. And God runs there. How do I know that? Because He would take a Haitian baby and put it in an American guy's hands and let there be new life. So why wouldn't God do the same for you? The I am with you of the retreat is, again, it's not about has God withdrawn. It's where are you withdrawing from His love and from that encounter of what God wants. There must be that awakening in our hearts, ladies, so that you begin to understand more deeply the teachings that God has for your heart. Those deeper teachings. Am I tuned in? Am I aware? All of the things that we will do during Lent, fine. They have a purpose. I give up. I sacrifice. Fine. But don't forget, it's ultimately to develop personally, relationally, in communion with God. The response back should always be love, gratitude. There's that passage in Scripture where, I guess, a slave owner was forgiven much by the landowner, by his boss, and then he goes out and he throttles the guy that owes him 1/1,000,000th of what he owed. And the teaching in that passage in Luke's gospel is, how is it possible? This one was forgiven 1/1,000,000th of by the boss, and yet he goes out and he can't forgive something so insignificant. In your own heart, do you ever see those times when you have been given so much? God has forgiven you so much, and yet you come back to Him like with an expectation which is right and just, but at the same time, it shouldn't be the deal breaker in how you respond to God. That's not what we can expect. You wait. And you be patient, and you trust. It's a powerful reminder. Too many times we approach God without that willingness just to wait and to receive from Him. And thus we become agitated, and we say, where are you? Where are you? Well, He's the same place He was when He brought you out of your sinfulness. What gives you the impression that He's not? What gives you the impression that He has changed? But it's sometimes He has to help you, like, decide, this is what I want. God, yes, He covers our nakedness, and He protects us, and He cleanses us, yes. But He also says, now walk with Me. Choose to walk. And that walk can be difficult. And in that walk is purification. Like, really, you're just right in. Get in the crowd. Follow. Be faithful. Do what you need to do. Do it with love. That's the journey. And that's what God's teaching. It's something really to pray about. Am I willing to follow faithfully, lovingly, and joyfully? And to follow because I have been blessed. It takes time. And sometimes we have to open our hearts and our minds to God and to really be tuned in. Listen, what is God saying to your heart? He is speaking. There are times when, if we look in the scripture and we see these folks that just have struggles in their faith, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me. Help me in this time of struggle. Those are legitimate cries of the poor. Help me, Lord. Lord, that I may see. Lord, save me. That cry out to God is a cry that from our brokenness that draws God to us. But holding on to that encounter will feed you. It's very important, ladies, that we develop this strength of commitment. In Luke's gospel, Mary and Martha welcome Jesus with Lazarus into their home. And then Mary, you know, Martha's running around doing all the cleaning and preparation, and yet Mary chooses to sit at his feet. The Lord God makes it clear, look, she chose the better way. This is better, the one who sits and listens to me. Not the sitting part only, but you're attentive, you're aware, you're receptive. We know that there are times that we can use activism to avoid intimacy with Christ. And it's a very interesting reality, because then that activism comes into my spiritual life, into my prayer, and I just become a person who's like accomplishing prayers all the time, right? Pray my rosary, do my divine mercy, got to read these three chapters of scripture because I got to keep up with everybody. I made a promise, and then if I don't do it, I got to go to confession. Just because you made some prideful promise doesn't mean you have to confess it. And you're like, I got to do it. Wait. Why? What are you looking for? So Christ comes to reveal the Father to us. He comes so that we can settle in, so that we can be present. And be in that receptivity. But it's hard. We know that's a hard place, because we don't, sitting and receiving is tough. It demands sort of a docility, a humility. And not all the time are we going to come away with like a great aha moment. But we pray so that when we're handed a sick baby, we understand deeper. So we pray so that when God hands us something that he wants to teach us a message or a lesson, we can really say, okay, I understand this. And not all of a sudden like go back into this. There you go again, Lord, you've abandoned me. Well, maybe he hasn't abandoned you. Maybe that just emotional response is once again a defense mechanism on your part to turn away from God, label him as an unloving father, and you go back into the same cycle of rejection, abandonment, emotional sadness. Ugh. What is that? Because you don't have a listening heart. A great question to ask yourself when you're cycling like that is, what's changed? What's changed? Did I sin? Did I jump off a ledge spiritually? Like, what happened? Nothing. Okay. So why do you think he abandoned you? Maybe he didn't abandon you. Maybe you're just not listening. Maybe there's something that God is teaching you. Maybe there's this selfishness. You're like, I expect this. Well, to a degree, we have that right. We are children. But also, sometimes you just have to settle down. It's very, very important. If we don't listen, then a lot of the things that take place in our lives are very, very, are more noise. And again, I want to just kind of keep teaching from that guy and that baby. It's more just going to be like an emotional experience. Like, wow, wasn't that powerful? And like, really? I don't really care. I don't really care about that. How ridiculous and shallow God would be if he just wants him to feel good about holding a baby. There's something way deeper with that guy and that kid. Something way, way deeper. And maybe it's an image of God the Father holding humanity. Like, I got to say to him, like, go deeper. Don't be just so shallow. What is God saying to you in that moment? Who is he supposed to be holding? Not some little Haitian kid. Who is he? How many times has God held him when he was barely breathing? Like, I'm going to lead that guy. But too many times they're like, oh, it was so emotional. Maybe that's the first step that God's going to speak to. There's something way deeper. We don't believe in that kind of shallowness. He wants to teach that man something about what love looks like. When you look at somebody with love or hold them close to your heart, there's something way more powerful there. But if he doesn't do it, that's just going to pass into the latrine of his heart. And he's going to move on to another spiritual candy. Give me something else, Lord. Give me something else. Unless he goes there and learns and discerns something very powerful about what God is saying to him about who God is and what this boy is and what that encounter looks like. That's the teaching. But if he doesn't have a prayerful heart, next time he goes to Haiti, he's going to be like, oh, I hope there's another miracle because, you know, I held that baby. You see, like, that's all projection. That's all like, wait, who are you? You just had a beautiful experience. That's good for the rest of your life. Like, you're good. And I better see your tail in church every day or pray in the rosary. Like, that's it. You got it. That's your get out of jail card. Now knock it off and quit acting like a spoiled child. You have an answer to what God wants you to understand. It's the same with so many people. Be faithful. I was reading again this Interior Freedom by Father Jacques Philippe. It kept coming back to me over and over. Like, people don't accept these encounters because they don't accept themselves. He wrote, non-acceptance of self creates inner tension, a sense of dissatisfaction and frustration. It's all taken out on other people. It's so true. So many are not finding that peace within them. And so the hand that reaches out to them is, oh, no, no. That's a hand that's going to hurt. So they run away. If you cannot accept yourself or where you've come from or all of your past or whatever it may be, your failures, your insecurities, your struggles, maybe you're just falling all the time in some kind of pattern of sin. You know, come to a place, say, Lord, help me come to a place of peace, even in my sinfulness, so that I don't become so utterly agitated that I forget that you are with me even in the sinfulness. Look, we have to understand deeper, like, yes, the seriousness of sin, but God is also there in that pain. Every parent lets their kid do something because they think they're know-it-alls, right? See, told you. Right? You might not say it, but I'm sure some of you are like, that was awesome. Right? I got it, Mom. And then crash. Yeah, well, there is a rock bottom. There's a rock bottom for many people that are suffering. And that rock bottom can be a very graced place in your life. How is it possible that God in his mercy is really trying to draw us back through all of, even through our trials? But that is what God has done. Remember, we are his image and likeness. God has this vested, selfish interest in restoring us to who he created us to be. A vested self-interest. When you become the woman I want you to be, then I am glorified in you. Really have to understand that. God is actually being very, very selfish, using everything he can so that you can be a person that he works through. That's a powerful reminder of the ends to which God will go. He will let us sin. He will let a sick baby die or live in a guy's arms. He will do all of those things so that we have a free response of love. That subtle sort of lukewarmness that I'm seeing sort of creep into so many people's lives that were once on fire, I say, what's going on? Be faithful. Be faithful. And so when God gives us this freedom, ultimately it's to restore us by our choices back to his friendship. And he seeks to do so for really one purpose, that we may be with him one day in heaven, that we may be saints. The ultimate experience of all that you're going through is that you will make a choice to want to be with God forever in heaven. So your pain, your suffering, your patterns, your struggle, all of that is what God wants to do. And I really have chewed on that guy's experience with that baby a lot in my prayer, because I think, how many times has God plopped a sick baby in my hands like that, so to speak? And the baby can be a variety of things. And you see all of a sudden life or renewal or something like that. And it just sort of re-energizes me. But at the same time, how many more of encounters of those do I really need? Can't I just go on the depth of faith? Can't I just know that I don't need that baby? I'm glad that this guy got that experience. And then I can learn from that experience. I think so many times people are like, well, why don't I get to hold the baby? Can I have that baby, Lord? But you've already done it, but you don't engage the depth of that other person that's done it and then process it. You just you kind of receive it and say, wow, that was really emotionally touching. Like, you can't go there. That's not the end of what God wants to do with that. Why is that man in your life? Why tell that story? Like, what is the coincidence that God's speaking to you? Do you ever go there? The receptive heart is like, wow, that's really me that was holding the baby, and I didn't even go to Haiti. That's totally me. And then you play the role of both. You play the role of the kid, you play the role of that man, and then you're there, and it's this dialogue. Wow, look at what God has done with humanity, or with me, or my brother, or my wife, or my kid, and he's held me. And yeah, maybe I didn't look like that, or maybe I was tarnished, or maybe this or that, whatever. Those are the receptive moments that I want you to really be able to develop within the depth of your heart. So the woman whose heart is receptive, the woman whose heart is open, is in that place of awareness. That's something beautiful. There's some guys down in Jamaica right now, they're doing some mission work, right? They're building. And the guy that's leading it, I sent him a text yesterday when they're at the airport. And I said, don't forget, it's all about souls. Cares about the buildings. Send the money and hire Jamaicans, and they can work faster and more efficient than you. I said, it's not about the buildings. It's about souls. Don't forget that. Their souls. Their souls to be open. Their lives to change. That's the grace. Serving others is one step in how being listening and receptive and getting out of ourselves. So really what God wants each of us to do. So I'd like you to take a little bit of time, and maybe what I'd like you to do is examine, wow, like fidelity of God. And secondly, sort of play that encounter of the man and the baby, that dialogue back and forth. How many times has God sort of picked you up and nursed you back to life? Like the reading I had when you were exposed and you were vulnerable and you were naked and God covered you, just like this little Haitian boy where he plunked him in this man's arms and all, what did he do? Nothing. He didn't give him an IV. He just held the boy close to his heart and loved the boy. That's all. Now, reminder, eventually the boy will die. But the soul is the goal. The soul is ultimately the teaching. And so it'd be good, if you could, to take that time, pray about it, examine in your heart, Lord, what is that? And what do I see myself ever as the one that's sort of held like that, barely breathing or barely whatever? And you will see God's fidelity, God's presence. Heavenly Father, bless us. Bless these women. Inspire in them a great faith, hope, and love. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Our Lady of Guadalupe. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.